This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. The Memorial of Saint Scholastica by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In that passage from Genesis, we always want to be attentive to details. It was not the tree of life from which Adam and Eve ate, and they said they sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then they were cast out of the garden because the tree of life was still in there. And if they had eaten of that tree of life while they were in sin, there would have been no help for their salvation. This is something to ponder when we think of the season which we approach. After they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered into the world in all its gravity. Sin, as I always point out, is not just a spiritual aspect. It ruined us in our total being, emotionally, intellectually, physically, in every way. We are corrupt. We have to appreciate the fact that that restoration is not going to be instantaneous. It is going to take a tremendous amount of work that we cannot do because we are sin, cursed, and fallen. The only one that can reconcile this fall is God Almighty Himself in all His perfections. This is what we need to understand about this tree of life. Because we can look at the Genesis passage, and some people look at it fanciful, and they think it's mythology. It is not. Our Lord did provide a tree of life in the garden, but He provided that when Adam and Eve had been created and placed in there sinless. And now that we sin, something had to be done. The tree of life had to be rejuvenated. Moved, so to speak. This tree of life is the cross of Calvary. This is why we hear so often in the Old Testament, in the prophecies, about one who hangs on a tree is shamed. Our Lord and many of the early church fathers spoken as this whole idea of his hanging on a tree. You know, we kind of lose it every now because, he was hung on a cross, not on a tree. Where does the wood from a cross come from? Okay, this is what we need to understand about this tree of life. It was no more myth than is the cross of Calvary. This is what we need to understand because just like if the tree of life in the garden had been eaten from then, you get received eternal life. The same with our Lord Jesus Christ. If they had done it in their purity, Adam and Eve, they would have lived for all eternity in that purity. It was just there, they were eternal. Death came into the world because of their sin. We need to understand that the restoration after our sin, and this is how gracious and merciful God is, that He provides for us a tree in the midst of this hellish place, and that's the cross. When we embrace that tree, when we eat of that tree, and do we not eat of that tree, the fruit of that tree? Because what is the fruit of the cross on Calvary? Our Lord Jesus Christ's atonement. And what do every time we gather here together? If we are properly disposed, we eat of the flesh of the fruit of that tree. We eat of the tree of life. We need to appreciate what's going on here. We need to understand the gravity of the Mass. The Eucharist, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. This is why our Lord said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, because you don't believe that you're eating and drinking from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge, or from the tree of life. This is what, because without that, we have eaten by our original and actual sins. We continue, every time we sin, we take a bite of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But every time we come to the Eucharist, we partake in the tree of life. This is what we need to understand about what we do when we come into this place, because this is where the gospel comes into play today. When our Lord Jesus talks about those things coming out of us is what defiles us, because those evil things cannot emanate from within us if we are sanctified by the tree of life that is our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we eat of the tree of life, the less and less we are prone to sin. This is how this works. This is the practicality of the thing. This is why I'm always pointing out the Eucharist, to receive it on a Sunday, is bread and water. Now, there are many who, because of their schedule, that's the only time that our Lord understands that, and he will give you graces accordingly. But the more we can avail ourselves of the Blessed Sacrament, the more we are eating from this tree of life. When we understand that and appreciate that, and we can see less and less of that litany of things that our Lord points out to his disciples. What comes out of a man defiles a man. From within his heart of man come evil thoughts. I like that. You know, the biggies are there. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit. But there's a couple others that we don't think about too much, like coveting or slander, pride, envy, foolishness. You know, it is a sin to be foolish. We need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate that things like evil thoughts come from within us, they defile us. You know, this can sound depressing because, well, man, all those kind of things, they all come out of me. Well, guess what? There is hope. And that hope lies in the tree of life that is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And eating of the fruit thereof, the Eucharist. I said, we don't receive that unless we are properly disposed. That's why we have the confessional. You see how all this works together to practically drive home the reality that the way our Lord created things is to where he is going to restore them. You know, a lot of people have this idea that we live on this world and then we die and then we live up in heaven for all eternity. That's not what the story is. We live here, we do suffer, we fight the warfare, and then we die. When our souls are separated from our body, we do go into heaven in an unnatural state because we are creatures of body and soul. And our Lord looked at that and said, that's very good. So it's not very good when our souls are separated from our bodies. But at the resurrection, on that final day of resurrection, our Lord is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Remember what it was like in the garden. God walked with them in the cool of the day, and he spoke to them as friends. Heaven and earth were connected in the Garden of Eden. They're going to be connected again because that's how he made it in the first place. It was very good, and that's how he wants it. So we just go full circle. But we need to appreciate that we have our part in this. It is of our own volition. It is of our own free will as to whether or not we partake of this tree. He has made it very, very easy for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross took away the flaming sword, so to speak, that keeps us separated from the tree of life. And now we can partake of it as much as we want. This is what we have to appreciate, because when that happens, then we become sanctified. Then we become holy. And our Lord appreciates it. And today, just an example, a worldly example of what happens when you partake of the tree of life and you let it permeate your being. Saint Scholastica. Saint Scholastica, she's the sister of Saint Benedict. Most people know that. And most people are aware of that story when They would meet annually, and they would meet in a house right outside the monastery grounds, and they would speak of things of God, and Saint Scholastica knew that her death was impending, and she wanted to spend the night with her brother, but that's a violation of the rules of the monastery. That's a violation of the rule of the Benedictines. I got to go back. She prayed, and a storm arose to where he couldn't leave. He was quite perturbed about that. But they spent the night together talking about holy things, and then a couple days later, he's looking out into the sky, and he sees her soul that he knew immediately was her soul in the form of a dove ascending into heaven. These are the things that can happen to those who immerse themselves in the tree of life, those who consume it as much as possible and let it permeate their beings. This is a demonstration to us of the perfections that God desires of us. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," he was not using exaggerated language to make a point. And he would not be perfect God if he asked you to do something that it was impossible for you to do. It is possible, not of your own power, but the power that you receive from the fruit of the tree of life. When you read this Genesis story about the tree of life, picture the cross. Picture the cross as the restoration, and then picture that cross that's going to be in that garden, that tree of life, in the new one that our Lord's going to restore. And again, walk with us in the cool of the day and speak with us as if we were his friends. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.